Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me today. It's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be able to hang out with you and introduce you to some really smart people, like our new friend, John Fuller, is here, ladies and gentlemen. John is he is the Diversity and Equal Employment Opportunity Consultant for Johns Hopkins Hospital up there in the Baltimore area. He's held prior EEO positions with Fortune 300 companies, with the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, and with the Department of Defense. He holds a master's degree in science from Duquesne University, and et cetera, et cetera. He's a well-educated guy in terms of, especially in trained and experienced in the area of equal employment, and also in the area of harassment and difficult working environments. And he's our new friend, John Fuller. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Okay. Tell us about... Now you've been trained by the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Yes.
You've been trained by those guys. So you know what the federal government says about equal employment opportunities, which includes the area of harassment, bullying, sexual harassment, that kind of thing, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where do we stand these days in that landscape? And as we look across the country, what's your perspective on how things are going across the marketplace?
I think the number of complaints, actually, according to the recent release in the Washington Post, that it went up 9% last year across the board in all categories.
Up 9%.
Right.
Wow.
There were 82,000 federal complaints that were filed. And sex discrimination was about 30% of that. So, I mean, there is an uptick, and that surprised a lot of investigators like myself that there was that much going on. But I do feel like part of it is more training that's out there, more awareness, people recognizing what sexual harassment is and what it isn't.
Mm-hmm. And so 30% was sexual harassment, so the other rest of it would be age discrimination, bullying,
racial
issues,
yeah,
that kind of
right.
thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And retaliation is the number two complaint, by the way, for somebody who files a complaint and then they are retaliated.
Ah.
So that is a huge concern for business, so don't do that.
as a business owner, this is a landmine. This is a minefield, isn't it? In many ways.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, particularly small businesses, they released a survey by HR management that said that nearly 80% of small businesses do not even have a policy in place for EEO. And if you are a business of 15 or more, you really need to have one, because that's the first question that they ask in court.
Never mind how many employees... Mm-hmm. John, to me, if you have asked one employee to manage another employee, in other words, you're the owner, and you have hired a manager to manage another employee, you've got to have a policy in place.
You most certainly should.
If that's three employees,
mm-hmm.
if there's you and the employee and the manager, if that's all there is, you got to have it in place, because you've delegated the responsibility of that other person's daily activity and the person that they have to report to. You've delegated that to somebody else, and therefore you have little control over that.
Right, and if you're the owner, you are responsible for the behavior of the people that work for you.
Right. Right.
Well, that is
so pretty important. So what does a policy need to look like?
Well, a policy should have a clear definition of what harassment and the expectations of the workplace are. I mean, you have to get an employee on the first day of employment, whether it's a formal orientation that they go through or just a sit down with the manager, to let them know what the expectations are. And particularly for the Y generation that's coming into the workplace now, I mean, they're coming into a workplace where maybe they're not used to that type of really strict behavior, and they're coming maybe from a college atmosphere or whatever. And that can be a danger system. If they don't sit down and talk with them, let them know what it is, and make the leadership of your company participate in the training programs that you have. First have a policy, train the individual, and have continued training that it goes on with the policy.
Well, and part of that training is to let them know how you expect they should be treated.
Right.
And how you expect them to treat others.
Right. And we spoke about this before the show. You know, can people overreact and be too sensitive these days? I think that they can, and I think a lot of these complaints arise from communication difficulties or somebody just saying, well, you know, they were saying it as a joke or something. They really didn't mean it. Mm-hmm. But the intent is irrelevant when it comes to a charge. I mean, I say if somebody does recognize and it's brought to their attention that they did harass somebody, they say they're sorry, that should be the end of story. There should not be a federal charge filed for everything that somebody says.
Right, absolutely. And which brings me to the point, I think, and that is, you know, how much do you think the claims that are filed, how much do you think of the claims are valid, and how many of them are invalid?
Well, the EEOC, on their statistics, say that 1 out of 5 are found for the complainant. I mean, that's pretty good odds for a lottery for somebody, but it's not good for businesses. I mean, even if you lose 1 out of 5, it's still a lot of money. Just announced today, the Tavern on the Green in Central Park, Washington, is paying $2.2 million to settle a harassment claim. A lot of these settlements that the EEOC has, and they had $345 million in settlements last year, the company will say that they admit no wrongdoing. Now, a lot of times they will do a cost-benefit analysis to see whether or not continuing the suit is going to cost them more, even if they know they're right, rather than settling. And I know in a lot of cases they settle because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the balance is between, you know, people being happy at work, enjoying their work, being able to laugh. I know that there's a lot of harassment out there. There's a lot of inappropriate language and references and things like that. But at the same time, you know, it seems almost that has come at the expense of good humor and basically, I don't know. I just think at some point in time we've gotten too politically correct, John.
Well, we have. I mean, even in my presentations that I do at Hopkins, I say that we have become too politically correct. However, I also say that there's a thin line between a relaxed, collegial atmosphere in an office.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But if you're a business owner, you have to pay attention to these things. And when we come back, we're going to get some more out of John. He's a pro at this. He can help us make sure that we don't step into under one of those landmines. 20 after the hour, I should say. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with John Fuller. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate at the Stones, bringing us back. Little Brown Sugar. John Fuller is our guest. He's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission trained investigator. He knows all about harassment of all the different kinds, all the different issues with regard to mistreating people one way or the other on a variety of ways that it can happen, and all the rules and regulations that are the federal, the state, the organizational requirements that are out there. And he works for, right now, he plies his trade with John Hopkins Hospital, and he's a retired Army officer. And John, I didn't retire from the Army, but I wore the uniform for 12 years as an officer. And today is the anniversary. I'm not sure which one. I have to do the math here. John, today, 1784, on this day, the United States Congress created the U.S. Army. How about that?
1784. All right. So from the Continental to the regular Army.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this is a great day in the history of the Army. Mm-hmm. John, you mentioned a minute ago a couple of things I want to reiterate, and one is that, folks, the best way to eliminate problems is for everybody to two things for everybody to know how the company's what the company's attitude is about harassment. You put it in writing. You make sure everybody read it. You make sure everybody gets a copy. They sign that they read it and they got a copy. Number one, that's what you tell them. And that way everybody understands what the company's goal is. Then you enforce that. You make sure people get training on it, and you tell your managers, this is what I expect out of you. And John, that way if whenever somebody feels like they've been harassed, they know the system to pursue it, so they can start checking, they can start telling people about it before it gets out of hand.
That's right. I mean, if you stop inappropriate behavior right off the bat, or joke, sexual type jokes and things, say, hey, that's, I use a red light system where people would say, instead of saying, well, that's sexual harassment, you say, you're in the red light zone, bud, you know, and it kind of lets people know that,
right,
that's kind of off collar, we don't need to do that in the workplace, and most people, and I say this, 99% of the time, if it's brought to someone's attention that they're doing this, they will say they're sorry and never do it again.
Right,
it's just that 1% that will pervade the system there and push this and push people's buttons. And
but if you don't have a policy in place,
right,
where people know what's expected of everyone, it makes the person who's being harassed not really know what to do with that information. They put up with it until it gets out of hand, and then next thing you know, they've called a lawyer.
Right, and the statistics show that 1 out of 10 women actually files a complaint, even if they're experiencing harassment, because they really don't know what the standards are, or they fear retaliation for filing.
Or losing their job, they need the
right
job, they need the health care, whatever it might be. So, and nobody should have to work like that. Nobody's daughter, wife, sister mother should have to put up with that kind of stuff. Now,
the other statistic I want to show on that is that 18% of all charges filed last year for sexual harassment were by men. And that statistic is going up every year by about 1 to 2%.
Is that right?
Right. And men are more prone to file because they feel threatened with their jobs. And, you know, the dynamics in the workforce is changing. A lot more women in positions of authority where you'd have quid pro quo harassment and, you know, those things. So that statistic is very alarming as it's going up here.
It's very interesting. Now, one of the things that I want you to talk about is how do we prevent improper filing from happening? And you're doing something I don't know that I've heard anybody else say that you do. Tell us what you do whenever you find that somebody's filed something and there is no basis for it.
Well, first of all, when you take a complaint, as I said before, you must take it as a serious complaint, regardless of whether you think it is or it isn't. However, every complaint has to have a base and an issue, and the base that they're saying, well, I'm being sexually harassed. But it also has to have an issue whether their terms and condition of employment have been affected. I've had people in all of my jobs come up on the last day when they got their pink slip and say, I'm going to file a sexual harassment suit or discrimination suit.
Right, right.
At that point, they feel like, well, they can't be fired because of retaliation. However, if you do your investigation and it only takes you a day or so, then they've only are going to be working for another day. And that's what you have to do is follow it up, ensure that there is a basis, an issue. And if it's not, you dismiss it. I mean, you have to have probable cause, and that's how the EEOC looks at it, too. The preponderance of evidence has to be either that it probably happened or it probably didn't. And if you can develop a investigative technique that you can do this very quickly, you can dismiss these cases out of hand.
But is there anything we can do to people who file false claims?
If it is a pattern, if it's something that they do as a pattern, let's say they file one, next week they file it against the same person, and next week, I mean, if they continue to do that, yes, then it becomes harassing in nature to the other person that's having to file, because that person's reputation is at stake.
Right.
Even
right.
if it's not founded, people know that a
right.
charge has been filed, no matter how much confidentiality that you have. So you can go the other way. I mean,
right.
you do have to watch for retaliation, and you don't do it on the first charge. I mean, if it goes second, third, fourth, then you got a pattern. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the kind of stuff that no small business owner wants to have to deal with. It's counterproductive. It's unproductive. It's upsetting. It's just it really upsets you when things like this happen. So, folks, the best way to stop it is to have a policy. John, where can we go to find more information about how to deal with these things?
They can go to a website that I have. It's called atworkwithjohnfuller.com, and I have 10 tips to consider when addressing a sexual harassment policy. They can download that for free.
atworkwithjohnfuller.com. Is that right?
That's right.
Thank you, John, for being here. Good job today. Good information. Will you come back another day?
I certainly will, Jim. Anytime.
You got a lot more to teach us. We'll get you back. Thanks, John. John Fuller, okay. Ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with John Jantz. After these messages, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.